Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com. Here we are back at the boot camp, back at it again. I hope you're ready for the next episode. I have the most special of special guests that have ever special guested on the Replant Boot Camp podcast today. I have the entire Stew crew with us for a special Replant Family podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dad.
Hey.
What's up?
So here we have my beautiful, wonderful wife of 20 years this July, Miss Audrea Stewart.
Yes, I am here. The mama of the crew.
The mama of the crew. And then our oldest, when this goes out, will be 17, Tripp Stewart.
Hello.
That's him. And then Cash Stewart will be 15 this year.
Hey, everybody.
And then Magnolia will be 13 this year.
Hey-ya.
So house full of teenagers. And a little over 10 years ago, we moved to Jacksonville, Florida to replant on the west side of Jacksonville. And we were there for 7 years. So you guys were 6, 4, and 2 when we moved to Jacksonville.
Yeah, that was a crazy time because we had left from New Orleans, and Jimbo was like, hey, I think we're going to move to Florida. And I was like, really? Because I have a really nice support system here, and we're going to take a 6, 4, and 2-year-old like away from all that. So that was pretty crazy.
And it was a tough landing. Like, I think within 6 months, I had walking pneumonia.
Well, let's be real. Like, you and I had both grown up on Central Time Zone. So we grew up in Mississippi. I lived in New Orleans. So we moved a 6, a 4, a 2-year-old all the way to Eastern Time Zone. And then 2 weeks later, it was daylight savings time. So yeah. that was crazy.
So
that
time changed back to back.
Yeah. So 2 hours off of our normal schedule. So, I mean,
without the people around us supporting the group of friends that
exactly.
we had.
And we were homeschooling at the time. We still are homeschooling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot of new changes.
All right. So I want to hear from each of you kids. What stood out to you? Like, what's your earliest memory of the replant here in Jacksonville? Let's go first, Mags.
I'd probably say walking into church in my, like, pink dress and bow and everything and, like, little kid stuff. Just seeing everyone and everyone being really tall.
Hmm. All right. That's the first memory. Cash, what's your first memory walking into the replant?
The earliest one I can think of is being in the nursery with Miss Sandra, who is our preschool teacher, and playing the game about the rug.
All right.
The rug game.
All right. Trip.
For me, it would be when we remodeled what used to be the youth room.
Okay.
When we kind of just cleared all that out, it was just kind of a junk room. When do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
The big white one.
The white building in the back.
The white building in the back, just kind of dumping all that stuff out.
Yeah, that was, if people have heard me talk about filling up construction-sized dumpsters, that was where a few of those came from.
I also remember Miss Sandra's thing. I wanted to say that too.
A couple of my earliest memories of you guys is walking in the first time with you, Trip, and your first words as soon as we walked in was, "It smells like old people." You didn't say it quietly. I was like, "Please be quiet. Hush."
Yeah, there were people there that heard that, too.
Yeah, and then
it did smell like old people.
It did.
And Cash, I believe, like, because they didn't have children's church at the time, and so you guys were just hanging out with me.
Yeah.
And so this was when they used to allow anybody to give announcements, like, from the floor. And so you raised your little hand, and they're like, okay.
Well, after they would do the announcements, they would say, does anyone else have any announcements?
Well, no, they didn't say announcements. Does anyone else have anything else to say? I remember it.
Yes.
And you being the sweet little literal kid you were, you raised your hand and said, and they're like, okay, Cash. And everybody kind of chuckled, and he said, God is a very big God.
No, he said the earth is a very big planet.
That's what you said.
Which it really is.
I mean, the earth is a big planet. All right, so here's what I want to move to next from each of you. What advice would you have for the pastors listening, not the kids. We'll go to the kids next.
I'd probably give advice about making time. I think my dad has definitely done a really good job of that, and I definitely know him more for it. Like, maybe taking a day off every now and then, or like during your breaks, just going out in the yard and playing catch, something like that.
All right. That's good.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that and add on to it. Finding things that you can do, like extracurriculars with your kids, not just being home and talking about work and doing and looking at work emails, saying that you're home, but actually spending time and quality time with your family, your wife and kids, because they do miss you like a lot when you're gone. And the older they get, the more they realize, oh, wait, he's gone. And like, if you don't spend time with them, the hard truth is they might start to think that you don't care about them and so on.
And I'll be honest, I wasn't always the best at that, was I?
Yeah, you used to be gone a lot, but we found ways to really like keep it going.
So. Yeah, it was hard for me not to bring work home, and that's definitely looking back something I wish I would have done better. Trip, what advice would you have for the pastors?
I would say your kids are definitely going to be looked at a lot. They're going to be considered role models, and people will look to your kids as an example of you. But I would not raise your kids to just be good for the church's sake. I would say raise your kids so that they will be good kids, not put the pressure of them that if they're not good kids, it looks bad on you or the church.
Yeah, like kids that you want to hang out with when you're older. Like, would I like to be this kid's friend when they're adults? Am I just preparing them to leave, or am I preparing them to be good friends?
Yeah.
Good people.
One of the things that I'm hearing you say is don't make the fact that they're pastors' kids be part of your expectations on their behavior.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things, I think, through those years at Redemption, and I think we've talked about this before, because our schedule could be kind of crazy, we had special days set aside.
Yeah, we like watched movies together as a family.
It was on like Wednesdays, I think.
So Wednesday nights after church, because we knew Wednesday was going to be a long, long day. And so Wednesday nights after church, we would try to do something together.
Yeah, and even other than that, we sometimes, whenever we made time, we played tennis because there was a tennis court like right by the church. We didn't really know how, but we had fun with our dad. And now, like, we're playing disc golf with our dad, and we actually know how to play that. So it's really fun.
And then also, every Monday, we would try to have breakfast, or at least, if not Monday, we'd try to make it up sometime that week and just have breakfast and eat as a family together.
Yeah. How did it make you feel when we made time like that?
Made me feel special and like y'all guys really cared about making relationships with us.
Yeah, I think it definitely helped our bond together. We weren't just, we're family, but we don't really hang out. But it was more like we actually liked each other and we liked talking with each other and hanging out. It's like you become closer as a group of people, not only as family, but also as best friends.
And another thing I'd add to that is just having consistency in one part of our life. I don't know for all pastor families, but at least for us, as a replant, no week was the same usually. Every week brought something different. And just having that one thing to look forward to each week that I knew would be there every week, that brought something stable, just something consistently there.
I think what I liked about it too is it felt like no matter what was going on at the church at that time, because we had some really amazing times. We had some really tough times. But I knew that I had the Lord. And then I knew that I had you guys. And that really was a blessing.
Yeah, and for kids, like, you mean more to your parents than you'll know until you kind of get older. And so, like, whenever you get older, you think, oh, I remember that time. It was kind of rough, but I didn't really understand it. But I knew my parents were really stressed out about that. But what you don't know is whenever on those special days that you have, that's when, like, that's the time where they kind of forget about their worries. And they're just like, I'm with my kids. Everything is okay. I have them.
So what I'm hearing you say, too, is, like, it's not just good for the kids. It's also for the parents just to enjoy each other and have that moment of peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, get home. Hang out with your family. Make them some of your best friends. I can remember many days that were really stressful that I couldn't wait to just get home and just hang out with my family and my people and my kids. What advice would you guys have for the kids of Replant Pastors?
I'd say some advice for the kids. You are an example for the other people in the church. Now, does that mean you have to be perfect? Absolutely not. But it does mean whatever you do, just know there's at least one pair of eyes that might be on you at the moment. So is this what you want someone new to the church to be like, oh, like mom with theater says the play that you're in right now is the audition for the next show. So you're kind of showing them what it would be like. So,
yeah. And I'd add on to that by saying you are the example and other kids and even their parents are watching you to see if you would be respectable friends. And not only that, but like actually nice friends. But you don't need to stress about it because we are not made to be perfect. Well, we are, but then we broke that because of sin. So the best thing you can do is just believe in God and trust your parents and know that what they're teaching you is probably for the best. They're not just telling you to go to church and dress up nice because they want to and they want to annoy you and stuff. The other people in the church are looking at you. But yeah.
Know how the church might be like?
Yeah.
I would say you also got to be a helping hand. I know there were many days when I remember when our janitor, well, we didn't have a janitor for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
We were the janitor.
Yeah, we were the janitor.
We became the janitor.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't enjoy it, but now I see why it was necessary. And then also, it's helped me now. Once I've grown past this, like, I know how to clean up different areas and how to push a broom and a vacuum and just do the stuff no one else wants to do. And that's helped me a lot in my life. It's put me in some great scenarios.
You're telling me you didn't love spending Sunday afternoons scrubbing toilets and sweeping and vacuuming?
It was not my favorite thing, no.
I'd say the worst was the toddler bathrooms.
Oh.
They were, like, there were some times where I couldn't even look in there. Like, I took one glance and walked away. I was like, someone else is cleaning this. I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah, there are some stories that we're just not going to tell because
all right, well, we don't have to tell those, but I would love to hear, like, what was the most challenging or least favorite memory? Like, what do you look back on and, like, that was the worst?
So I probably have two things.
All right, let's hear it.
One of them was about a toilet.
Oh.
Fun.
So whenever we were like about to leave the church, I remember in the preschool bathroom, the toilet was filled up to the brim with cockroaches.
What?
Okay, let me back this up though, because it was a wonderful church.
It was so bad.
It was post-COVID. Apparently nobody had cleaned the bathroom the last Sunday that we were there. And then we go back in post-COVID. And so I had gone into the toddler bathroom right as we were about to reopen. And I was like, oh, no. And it was a nightmare. It was a horror
show. It was really bad.
Yeah. So
that was the time I was referencing.
Yeah, I know. I believe I cleaned that bathroom.
You
that
did.
Time.
You
yeah.
You were a warrior.
I took one for the team.
That the COVID was cockroaches.
The COVID cockroaches. I took that for, I feel like I should get a, you know, a star in my crown.
Yeah, you get a gold medal.
Yeah, you get one for
That's
sure.
That's great.
And my other story was whenever I, because of my September birthday, I've always been a grade behind. So whenever I was the age to move up to the first grade, and I was like, yes, I get to go be up with the regular kids. I get to be in the hideout, which was our kids group. My mom said, no, you're not old enough yet. And I was like, what?
Oh.
So I bawled my eyes out in kindergarten.
That's tragic.
That was very sad. I thought you were going to talk about, because we live in Florida, and the time where we had to spend your birthday in the church.
Oh, no, that was actually really fun.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, we stayed for one of the hurricanes at the church.
At the church, yeah. So he was supposed to go to Disney World, but no, we got to stay in the church.
Yeah, I was the only kid who didn't go to Disney World for my birthday.
That was very sad.
This is true. That's another story for another day. Trip, what about you? What was the worst or moment or memory for you?
Well, no one really put this pressure on me, but I've put pressure on myself to be perfect because I felt like I was the example. Mm. And I think the time that I realized the most I was not perfect was when I broke the preschool window.
Oh. Yes, yes.
And I didn't pick up a yo-yo again for another year.
So explain that story because some of the viewers listening may not understand.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were all given prizes in the hideout in the kids group. And my prize was a yo-yo. And I was so excited because I'd earned that yo-yo. And then I was trying to do the thing where you throw it down, it comes back up.
Yeah, just a basic yo-yo thing.
Yeah, basic yo-yo.
But I was standing right behind the window where the preschool was at.
In front of the window.
Well, right in front of the window where the preschoolers were at. And all the preschoolers were behind me, too. And so I threw it down, and I pulled it up, and it didn't do the trick. And it just swung behind me and smashed the window.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so to be fair to you and your sweet little probably 8-year-old self at the time, that was a mom moment that I did not handle well. And I'll just go ahead and publicly apologize to you for that. It was that glass. It was probably older than Jesus at that point. So it probably had it coming, honestly. Yeah. And I flipped out because I was worried, I think, what other people would say. And so I probably overreacted in that moment. So sorry, bud.
I remember Tripp saving up because he had to pay for it by himself. And I remember him being like after I was like, hey, Tripp, I need to borrow some money. He was like, no, I'm broke.
So we didn't make him pay for the whole window.
No, did not make him pay for the window.
He had to help pay some, but it wasn't much.
I mainly did community service hours. At that time, we were rebuilding the stage. So I was just there to help rebuild the stage. I think I did like about 10 hours. And that was over about a month. Yeah. They handled it well, but they also did punish me for it.
All right, so I know that you really enjoyed building the stage, though. So
it was a blast.
Let's move to what was your favorite memory? Like, what was the best moment? You look back and you're like, that was the best time that we had at that church.
For me, it was actually growing up with the church. Mm. So since I was one of the first members there, I knew the entire story of the church and what everything looked like beforehand and afterwards. And just growing up with the church and seeing how it had grown over the years was probably one of my favorite parts.
Mm-hmm. So personally, my favorite part was whenever I was in the hideout, third or fourth grade, playing hide and seek. That was the best part because I knew all the best hiding spots because I was the pastor's kid. So we always played hide and seek right either before or after church. I can't remember. While the parents were talking or something, and we had to stay in the first building with the sanctuary. We had to go and hide all around. And there was one place that was right behind the baptistry stairs that was the best.
I remember that as well, and it was really fun. And I remember, watching everything, grow as well as Trip. And I remember, from it just being us, we were the only kids, to it becoming, filled with people and, things like that.
All right, Audrey, what about you? What would be your favorite memories?
I think, honestly, just how much we grew together as a family. Being at a replant is hard. It's hard work. And I really appreciated that you came home. There was a lot of times where, the work is just never done. So if you're waiting for it to get done, it's not going to. So you have to stop.
Yeah.
The fact that we came out of our replant loving Jesus and loving each other as much as we did, I think is a true testimony. Not to say that it was easy, and not to say there wasn't a ton of hard work, but I really appreciated family times of us playing board games together or Wednesday night movie nights or Monday morning breakfasts. And then we got to see some just really cool movements of the Lord. We walked into a church situation where there's the about 40 people, mostly senior adults. And our kids were the children's ministry. And just Easter Sunday mornings, just seeing a room full of people or seeing a kid's choir, several VBSs. Those are just beautiful moments. And not just having those moments, but having them together and just watching our kids grow alongside of it was pretty great.
So I have a question for Dad.
Oh, okay.
So what was the best part and the worst part about having kids in a replant?
I would say the best part was getting to do ministry with you guys. Being in a smaller church, you know, you guys were the janitor, the cleanup crew for block parties. And so we got to do all sorts of things together. And that was a ton of fun doing it with you, having you be a part of it.
What was the worst part?
The worst part, there weren't many moments, but there were a couple of moments where some church members decided to be very ugly to me in front of you. There were several moments where people vented frustrations and things like that, that you weren't around, and that I'm fine with that. But there were a few moments where you were right there. And I don't know if y'all remember those or not, but I just remember thinking, man, I really didn't want you guys to have to see that part of ministry, of people being rude to Dad. But you guys always handled it really well.
I remember, like, not what they said, but I remember, like, standing next to you, talking to you, and then, like, someone walking up and, like, saying something, like, in the nicest way, but in the nicest tone, like, the meanest things. And I just remember being like, that was rude.
Do either of you boys remember anything like that, or did it not even hit your radar?
I think I remember that it happened, but nothing much. More just, I knew they were probably wrong.
Because Dad's always right.
Yeah, Dad is always
right. Your
dad's
awesome.
Well, he's amazing. To be truthful, in my head, I was like, anything Dad says is correct.
Yeah. Well, just to brag on you three, you guys were rock stars that whole time. You really were just bright moments, and I hate at any point you ever felt any need to feel perfect. One thing I loved about each of you is, like, you were all just 100% yourself all the time. And that's what I would say to a pastor's wife, or I'm actually a pastor's kid myself, is just echoing what they say. You're not going to be perfect. And sure, people are going to come in and think, like, "Who? What is this church going to be like?" But pastor wife, pastor kid, just be yourself, because you're the one that God called to that church. Okay. And you're going to learn so much. And of course, you want to grow in the Lord and change, but you don't know who's walking into that church, and they need Jesus, but they also need you. So just be the you that God's called you to be.
I have a question for Mom.
Okay.
What is the most difficult, or like the hardest part about being a pastor's wife?
Getting ready on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I would lose my ever-loving mind because, you know, sometimes you can feel like a single mom.
Especially on Sunday mornings. You are a single mom on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, and again, you guys were 6, 4, and 2. Magnolia, you ran out of the house one morning, and I didn't even know you were gone. Like, it was real bad.
I believe whenever I was little, now this is an embarrassing story of whenever I was like 2, but like whenever I was 2 years old, I'd throw off my diaper and run around the neighborhood and knock on people's doors and then run into their house. And it was Trim's job to grab me from people's house because Mom was trying to get cash ready for church.
You have always been a little bit of a loose cannon.
And so Kat, Mom was trying to get cash ready and Trim was chasing me around the neighborhood and I was running in people's house naked. Mom was freaked out. Trip was freaked out. Cash was mad. All the things.
So trying to get all three of you ready to go on Sunday morning and then get there still feeling holy. That's when we started the Do You See the Church game. Because
that was my favorite game.
Okay.
We still play that game.
Yeah. So instead of me yelling at you and fussing the whole way to church, I played this game where we said, do you see the church? As soon as we drove up, and the first person who could see the church would win. And then we also started the whole, where have you seen God at work? Because I figured talking about Jesus was a lot better than being stressed out. So yeah. But yeah, getting you guys ready was tough.
Hopefully now it's a little easier.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not running through the neighborhood anymore.
All right. So we're just about out of time, but I wanted to hit one more thing. When we talked about doing this podcast, Tripp, you brought something up. When you were talking about don't raise your kids to be pastor's kids, but just raising them to be kids, you talked about how the core values that we've done as a family have been really helpful for you.
For me, using the core values, it was kind of the building block for y'all raising us. So whenever I wasn't sure what to do, I would look back at our core values, which are respect, integrity, self-control, and joyfulness, and look back like, am I doing those things? Am I following what I was taught to do?
And with the core values, respect, integrity, self-control, and joyfulness, no one can say, well, you didn't tell me I can't do blah, 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 because it's not following respect. It's not following self-control, or maybe it's not following joyfulness, like all of these things.
So no loopholes.
Yeah, there aren't any loopholes, which does annoy me, but, you know.
Magnolia is our loophole queen.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I find a loophole in everything.
All right, so any final thoughts you want to share on the podcast before we sign off?
Again, with the respect, integrity, self-control, and joyfulness thing, that I'd say is definitely important to any of the new parents. Like, see if you can get that in there. Like, I had to memorize it, and anytime I got in trouble, which I'm the one that gets in the most trouble, I'd have to go respect, integrity, self-control, and joyfulness.
So what I hear you saying is you want to make sure that new parents maybe create core values for their family.
Yeah, they don't even have to be like the exact same, but find a foundation that is God-loving and honestly just what you think a family should emulate.
Yes.
And also, you don't have to be perfect. Raise your kids to be kids you want them to be. Don't raise them to be the pastor's kid. Raise them to be your kids.
Mm-hmm. As I was saying earlier, raise them to be someone you want to hang out with, not someone you just want to take care of.
Yeah. Have fun with your kids. Spend time with them because they do like you and they want to spend time with you. So
it's a good word. Any last words, Mama?
I just love you guys.
We love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow. A helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it. And the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksite.com to learn more and get started.